There comes a point in the earthly ministry of Jesus where he turns his back on Israel. He's come to his own, and his own have received him not. But there is a reason behind all of this. Paul mentions it there in Romans. It is for the sake of the Gentiles to be grafted in. And sure enough, here in John chapter 12, we see the Gentiles coming to Jesus. "Sir, we would see Jesus," they say. And it marks the change. It marks the day God turned out the lights. We're in John chapter 12, verses 37 through 50 today as we take a look at that day that God turned out the lights. Join us for this edition of Abounding Grace. Here now with today's broadcast out of John, our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Jesus has been proclaimed in this world for how many years? How many centuries? In the beginning of time, his arms have been outstretched all day long to people. Come. And the job of the pastor is to do that, whether they come or not. Come. Come. Believe. That's what where we are in the Gospel of John. We've come to the end of it for this nation. And the light goes out on the Jewish nation, on the national Israel, as Jesus goes to the cross. And remember what Paul said of the consequences of this. To this very day, a veil lies on their heart so that they can't see Jesus. To this very day, if you don't believe me, tell me, what is the nation of Israel? What's its state today? It's a sort of memorial for unbelief. If we looked at the woman Mary, who was a memorial belief, Israel is a study in the consequences of unbelief. We could talk about what might happen at the very end and what the Lord might do. And there's been debates about a Romans 11. But that's how we're supposed to see it. We think this is just always going to go on. And we have the attitude of Noah, of God's patience. And look, things will always go on as they always have from the beginning. Nothing will ever change. And I want you to be remindful of this very truth, as Peter said, that the end of that world happened too, the end of the first world, and now there's going to be an end of this one. You're going to see, for the first time in our lives, I think, as we go through many struggles in this present age, I think for the first time in our lives, we're going to start really feeling the pressure of this. And as Christianity is hated more, we're going to have to take stands where we really have never had to take much of a stand for our faith in this life and in this world, because it's been so good. You're going to finally start losing stuff. And you're going to understand how important something like this is, and how important the calls are, and why we're here, and what we're doing, and why the mission of the church is so important. We're going to have to be thinking a lot more about these things. And as the church goes forward in a changing post-Christian culture and the violence that it might get of how we are to behave as people of God and what our purpose is, knowing that this day is soon coming. But I think it's important to say God is not continuing this forever, and that the power of this, what's being really emphasized in this is the command here to come today to the light. That's the call that really comes out of this, that there's a permanent blackout coming. And that's why I think it's important to remember that the cross itself depicts the final judgment. Remember that when Jesus hung on the cross, darkness fell on the land. Everything about the cross is really showing us the very end of the world. There's a judgment day. Darkness fell, and then graves were opened, a resurrection. There was darkness, judgment, resurrection. It's the same thing that's coming in our day. Darkness, judgment, resurrection. The question is whether you're in Jesus for that judgment or not. And the problem that keeps coming out here is unbelief. I want you to notice the problem in verse 42 here. Nevertheless, this is a remarkable statement. In John 12, verse 42, it's one to sort of stop and just ponder for a minute. Nevertheless, John 12, 42, get there. Many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Some people were not hostile to Jesus. Some people were open to Jesus. They actually looked at these things and concluded, he's true. How could we deny that? But there are some people in the kingdom, as we see here, who believe these things and still will not come because they won't count the cost. In other words, they are more interested in losing influence and status and money and occupation and not willing to really suffer the cause of this. And so at that, the threat of that loss, they are still not willing to truly come. There's this principle for everyone in old communist Russia. They called it a certain principle of giving outward appearance to something, outward appearance while inwardly dissenting from it. It's an interesting principle that I was reading about, of really playing a role. That's exactly what's happened here. That the best that came out of Israel were many who played a role. They played a role of refusing. Inwardly, they knew it was true, but outwardly, they wouldn't confess him. And I think that leads us to the most important moment in John here to understand something. We come to a moment that's rather stunning. Why ultimately didn't they come? Why ultimately? Well, this is hard for us. This is a really hard moment. Thinking of preaching this and the challenge of this, the summary of his public teaching is given in 37. I want you to look at it. It explains for us what happened, why it happened, and then it gives the consequences of it. And that's what we see there. Notice it. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them, though, now listen to this, he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. What's the conclusions that are drawn here? For again, Isaiah said, he's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. What an important section to consider today. I was out of Isaiah 53. We're going to look at tonight, which he spoke. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Who has taken the report of the words of Christ to the heart, the word of God to the heart, revealing his son? Who has taken that to heart? Who's looked upon his arm? Who's considered his son? Who's believed? It was taken from Isaiah 6, you'll notice here, verse 39, therefore they could not believe. They did not believe so that, listen to this, the prophecy of Isaiah would be fulfilled. Therefore they could not believe. And then he cites Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 was the courtroom scene, remember? Holy, holy, holy. And the Lord says, who shall we send? And after the Lord touched Isaiah's lips, Isaiah says, send me, I'll go. I'll go tell Israel to come to the Lord, to come and believe. And remember what the Lord said? Go tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. And I said, how long, Lord? Here's the end. Here's the culmination of it. Jesus is fulfilling this. It's hard for us as Americans. What we see here is he's a prophet of judgment. He's not just merciful. He's also a prophet of judgment. He blinded their eyes. The word for harden is a medical word, which means to make thick the skin on the arteries. He clogged the arteries of their hearts. And you say, that's hard for me. I don't understand that. I don't get that. Notice the sequence. They didn't believe. They didn't believe of their own free will. You have a free will. You have a free will within your nature. A fallen nature only chooses what is of that nature. They chose rejection. They chose to hate him. They could not choose him because they're dead. We know that. That's the problem of the fall. But notice that the divine response to unbelief was this, the culmination here, that God judicially hardened them. You are studying right now divine judgment on a nation. Understand that. You're studying divine judgment on a nation, what it looks like. On a nation in the old covenant that the Lord had given these laws to. This is something I think that we shouldn't pass over so quickly in the new covenant era. Listen to this statement by Paul in Thessalonians. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and lying wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Listen to that. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This can happen today. All these calls. That's why I say, take the calls of Jesus seriously, take his worship seriously, and receive that word and believe that word. Because the consequence of the deception that's coming will be, you will believe that lie if you play fast and loose with it. There's a proper way to understand this, that as Romans 1 says, so we don't fall into hyper-Calvinism. God gives people what they want. He turns people over to what they want. I think it's been important when we did our canon study, and Dr. Godfrey did it. Nobody, he said, is ever denied Christ who really wants Christ. Nobody is ever denied Jesus who really wants Jesus. Those who are denied heaven are those who never wanted, of their own choice, the Son of God. I don't find in the Bible anyone who came to Jesus with a broken and contrite heart and saw their sins and came to him for life that he ever cast out. Where do you find it? You don't find it. But I do see those judged who refuse to listen and who refuse to hear and who their whole life refused to worship and made every excuse under the sun to fall at the feet of Christ. There are consequences to unbelief. And this is what the section says. Jesus says, you only have a little while longer. While it's time, O Israel, believe the light while you have the light. Come today. He's doing it again. Come now. Believe right now, he's saying. Now, I knew this would be a hard first end to John, first book. This would be a tough one. I think the intention is that we're supposed to feel the judgment of this. We're supposed to feel how ugly it is. We're supposed to feel the pain of this and say, that's just awful. That is just awful. And that leads us to the final concluding point here. If the text stopped here, I would be distressed because I'm no better than these people. I don't have a better heart than Israel. I know I'm no better than Israel. What if God had left this all up to us? Scary thought. You're a believer today. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? You've come to believe the gospel. You're a believer today. How did that happen? Why did that happen? You've trusted the Lord. You believed his promises. You believe, contrary to all this world that thinks this stuff's rubbish and crazy, you believe in a resurrection from the dead. You believe in a Savior that God sent, who's truly God and truly man, who came to die for us and save us from our sins, which we know it's true. We believe in the assessment of our lives. How did you get all that? What did you do? It's what God did. It's not coincidental that in this last section, somebody came up. A group of people came up and asked for something. The Greeks came. Can we come in? Can we come in the kingdom? Will you let us in? Can we see Jesus, please? Jesus says, yes. When I die, I'll bring you. I'll drag you to me. Remember that word? When I'm lifted up from the earth, I will drag every people, all peoples of this earth, to myself.
Whoa, that's overwhelming. Because that's just not one nation. That's every nation of the earth, he just said. I'm going to drag everyone of all different types of people to me. I'm glad to read this. Because what the Bible tells me is all this was fulfilling a plan. God, if God did not harden Israel's heart, how would the scriptures be fulfilled? And if this had not happened, in other words, I can only understand this and see the goodness of God and the purpose in all of this hardening in that he went to put his son on a cross. Why would he do that? If it was only to do judgment for everyone. He did this so that the gospel, the plan from the beginning, promised to Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that he would bring the nations to himself, to his feet. I see the love of God for this world in his death, in Christ's death. And that's why John gives us the summary of everything we've studied today so far in these 12 chapters. This is so beautiful. Then Jesus cried out. I can't even imagine what this sounded like. Cried out. He who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. We'll look at that in John 14 and unpack that more. He who sees me, sees him who sent me. I've come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges. There's already a judge in place. It's already proclaimed it. It's his word he's spoken, he says. That will be the judge on the last day. The word has spoken. For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should say and what I should speak. This is the happiest verse in John after all that. Here's what the Father told me to do. Gave me a commandment to fulfill. You know what that commandment is? Eternal life for you, Gentiles, Greeks. It's for you, to the ends of the earth, all who believe, Jew and Gentile. No longer narrowly found in this little nation of the earth, but broken out to the ends of the earth. Part one concludes, book one concludes so beautifully. God told me what to say and God told me what to speak and he gave me a command and that's God's command. And what do you hear in that? The plan is perfectly being fulfilled. It's what Paul said in Romans 9, that through their hardening, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to open the door of heaven to you. It was always a plan. It was always the plan. Let that set in today. It's open to you. It can't be taken from you. That's why I came. The Father gave me this command to save to the ends of the earth. He's preached to us, hasn't he? He's preached a long time to us. He's preached a beautiful message of hope to us, a beautiful message of grace to us. I know as a pastor, my job is not a ministry of condemnation. My job is a ministry of righteousness by the Spirit to deliver the message of the Son to you. A God who's for you, a God who loves you so much that he gave his son and put him on a cross, a God who took on everything for you and suffered the judgment day that you deserve back in AD 30 in the month of Nisan at about the sixth hour of the day when he said it's finished and the full wrath of God was poured out upon him in body and in soul for you. I get to preach that. You know how long I've been preaching it? I'm kind of tired already. It's been 17 years. Maybe the Lord will give me another 17. Maybe he'll give me a long time. I don't know. There'll be somebody else who's preaching it as long as this world goes on. And all day long, he extends his arms out to you, doesn't he? All day long, he gives you the same calls. And in the new covenant, the Holy Spirit's given to you so that with renewed and born again, saved hearts, you receive it. Too good to be true. And I want you to know there is a day this all ends. There's a day this all stops. It would be wrong for me not to ask to everyone here, maybe some of our young people, maybe some who have yet to really come and believe this. Have you still not come to the light, to walk in the light? Tell me how all your walking in darkness is going.
How are the drugs? How's the alcohol? The drunkenness? How's the pornography? How's all that misery going? It's darkness. And you know it's darkness. And it wants to destroy you. It wants to destroy you. And the light is right in front of you. Come to me. Come to me, says Jesus. I'll forgive you. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll help you. I'll lift you up. I'll give you hope in this world that has none. I'll give you everything the world's looking for as it gropes about in darkness and can't find any. I'll give it to you freely. That's why I died. Come to me. Come to me today. For the light will not always be with you. Don't play fast and loose with it. Don't make excuses not to worship me. I am your life. I am your light. In me, you have everything you'll ever need. See, he's done it for you too. He's done it for you too. And I pray today that all of us would come to the light and enjoy that light and know that light, and those who know that light would walk in happiness today. You should skip out of here. You should jump out of here. I don't want to see it, but you should try it. You should be a happy people. God has loved you, and he gave the command to save you. Don't be unbelieving, as the Gospel of John says, but believing. This is the promise of God.
The amazing call of God to be believing. Well, we'll have more in John next time we're together, and Pastor Chris will close out today's broadcast in just a moment. Stick around. You got Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon taking us to God's Word that we might grow and abound in His grace. Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, it's as simple as opening up your smartphone, accessing the Voice Memo app, and recording that question along with your name and where you're calling from, and then emailing it from the Voice Memo app to us, questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll let you know when. As promised, now let's return to Pastor Chris once again as we close out today's broadcast with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, what a plan. Going through a tough section of Scripture and to see your plan unfolding, to see your purpose of God throughout the generations and the years, and that even to Israel to this day, there's a remnant coming in by the election of grace. You didn't even wholly abandon them. You're a wonderful God. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for hearing the prayers and requests of our forefathers years ago who came and said, can we see Jesus? Thank you for hearing that. Thank you for bringing us into the kingdom. And Lord, may we never take for granted the light that's preached to us and the light that we walk in. And I pray that we would hear the call for any who have not come and come today, which means simply believe and rest in the Savior. And let us have confidence, Lord, of what this command is, a command that Jesus fulfilled, eternal life, because he died and rose, showing and proving through the testimony of the resurrection, the receipt handed, that our sins are forgiven. We bless the name of the Lord and ask that we would be thankful as a people and joyful as we look at a world groping around in the darkness that gets ever more increasing. For us, the true light's already shining, and it will overcome all darkness ultimately. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.